you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's the daily podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and arrive escorted by ties. The Star Wars movies 1 minute at a time. I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Alex Robinson from AlexRobinson.fun.
And I'm Hal Loveland from Your Heart.
Aww.
Wait, I needed that. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming back, Hal, to close out the week with us. We are,
of course.
Always a pleasure to have you here. And you get the... a little bit of everything with this, because we're closing with minute 90, which is minute 90 starts with the Rey's escape pod landing on the on Snoke's ship, which I forgot what it was called. It's not the boudoir.
Supremacy.
Supremacy.
Mm-hmm. Same thing.
And it it ends with blip blappity bloop. The other guys slip right in.
Blip, I was going to make that my website. I was going to say I'm Al Loveland from blip blappity bloop. .com.
.gov. You just slip right in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we get, like, you might have, you don't get any Luke, but you got Rey, you got Finn, you got Poe, you got Rose, you got Holdo.
No Kylo. Chewie, oh, you do have Kylo in this.
And you get Kylo Ren in this minute.
Yeah. No Snoke.
No Snoke.
And no Porgs.
Radio. No Porgs.
Radio.
Right.
So yeah, this is continues the thing we started yesterday with Rey in her escape coffin, and she's being escorted into the thing. And again, it totally undermines the fact that the Supremacy is in the middle of this big chase. The fact that this little tiny escape pod is just can totally just kind of walk up to the. Would it have been better if they were in hyperspace the whole time?
Maybe.
And they're like, oh, once we run out of fuel, we're going to drop out of hyperspace, and then we're dead. Like,
or if they were doing like hyperspace jumps each time and they were being followed.
Like skipping, like they
did. Like if they
That's
kept
a good trick.
Jumping and then they kept jumping after them, so they're wasting hyperspace fuel,
right?
And hoping that each jump, you know, that that the next jump would be their last. No, that each jump would be one where they finally lost them, but they just kept kind of jumping after them. And then slowly ships would run out of hyperspace fuel and not be able to make the next jump and get left behind and blown up. I don't know.
Anyway.
Well, I wanted to back up for a second and say, sadly, morosely perhaps, most coffins are escape coffins. But
wait, you mean because they escape from life, or
yeah, you know,
they're your escape from life,
or you have to try to escape from them?
Well, yeah, I guess either.
In the Victorian era, they made coffins with trap doors in them because people were so afraid of being buried alive that they had to invent, like, all right, here's one where you press a button and it rings a bell,
like a flag
so pops
come
up. Get you. Right. Yeah, here's one where you can literally get out and there's an escape tunnel.
Which would, I don't know, like, you got to walk the line between, like, you know, at what point, when am I being courteous to the deceased and when am I just courting basically a vampire zombie infestation?
By making it too easy for them to get out.
Yeah, exactly. Like, well,
we're grave robbers.
We made one-way doors on all the coffins.
It's a numbers game either way.
Right.
Yeah. So we see the coffin being escorted by two TIE fighters, and they land in the bay here. And I think it was such a smart move in retrospect for George Lucas to invent these force field docking bays where you don't have to worry about doors opening and the vacuum of space and all that stuff. It just saves so much time not having to go, you know, doors, and then the thing goes in, right, and then the thing goes by. It's just a more elegant solution. So kudos to you, GL, for coming up with that.
More civilized age.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm sure it was a practical thing because it saved money on a budget, not having to show doors opening and closing in slow motion. So he's like, oh, how about they just, there's a force field there. And everyone's like, all right.
You know, you can't see it. It's just lights.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the teleporter from Star Trek, right? It was too expensive to do landing sequences. Right. So George Lucas wasn't involved in that. Right. We'll just put some sparkles in a glass of water and we'll do that instead.
Something that we've discovered doing my other show, Star Trek, the original series, apparently it's fairly documented that George Lucas said he was watching, like, when he was creating Star Wars, he would just put on Star Trek every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And
what not to do.
Yeah, there's some suggestion that's basically like, all right, how do I keep it from being this? But there's also kind of a certain, you can see that certain things get borrowed from that,
yeah,
from time to time. You know, like the there are tractor beams in Star Trek, which I hadn't realized until going through that there's one or two episodes where they use a tractor beam, and they didn't invent it. It comes from the from books in the 40s, but there's
even the name tractor beam, like tractor, like some like 18th century farming equipment. You're naming your future space beam after.
You know,
it's like the buggy
fresher
beam. Yeah. I wish they referred to things as gins in the start the hyperspace gin, you know, like cotton gin,
the Qui-Gon,
the tincture beam.
Yeah. I'm afraid his humors are quite out of balance. But yeah, so we see the force field docking bay. Right. Always happy to see that.
Mm-hmm. Are there any guys standing around outside of it?
I didn't see outside. There's inside. There's definitely guys hanging out there.
Okay.
Oh, you mean guys in the little, like the little stoop that they put out there?
Yeah. Clearing.
All right. Who's
going to
stand in space? Whose turn is it?
Right. All
Spin
right.
The
I'll do
wheel.
It. Hang on. Or maybe they like that. That's like the, you know, nobody's going to bother me out there. You can just do whatever.
Oh, it's so quiet. And there's nothing I can do. Even if a ship shows up, I just say, hey, a ship. I have no responsibility here.
Look, there it goes.
Have you been on space duty yet? It's so good.
You know, it's funny. Everyone thinks it would be quiet, but you'd be surprised how those explosions really travel from. So.
You drown out the noise of the engines after a while.
Right.
Turns out space, there's a lot of noise.
You just hear yourself breathing in your helmet. It's just like,
oh, it's like that. There's a room that is the quietest room in the world. Like it just sound dies in there, and you can only spend, I think it's like 15 minutes before you lose your mind, because your brain starts to fill in the blank, all the blank sounds. Like it just, your mind starts to play tricks on you and will drive you.
That does sound very urban legendy, like some guy lost, he was in there for 16 minutes, totally went insane.
My cousin's friend knew somebody at summer camp who went in, and he's never the same again.
He came out, he thought he was a glass of orange juice.
And after two sips, they knew he was wrong.
Okay, would you rather lose your mind by staying up and not going to sleep for 2 weeks, being in the soundproof room for 17 minutes, or being at the bottom of the ocean?
Oh, 2 weeks. Because I feel like I have more time.
I don't know.
But it's also a slower, like you're gradually going crazy. You're not like, the thing about the 15 minutes is, I don't know actually. Is it the kind of thing where you gradually go crazy, or is it like, do you snap at a certain point? And anyway, this has nothing to do with Minute 90, so I don't know why I'm bringing it up.
I've only been up for about 12 hours at this point, but I would definitely not go for the stay up for 2 weeks one. I'm just like, oh boy, I'm tired now. Like, I can't even imagine. I've been at the point where it's, I don't know. Yeah, I've been super tired to the point where I was kind of seeing things a couple of times and been like, oh, I don't like this. I don't like this at all. So I wouldn't want that to continue. But if it was quick, what's the deal with the bottom of the ocean?
I don't know. I just need a third one.
Yeah, how much time you got to put it down there?
Yeah,
I couldn't tell you.
Mm-hmm. How about, what if you're at the bottom of the ocean, but you're hanging out with Willem Dafoe's character from Aquaman?
I thought you were going to go Willem Dafoe's character from Steve the Zuzu.
Right.
He does a lot of sea-based dramas, doesn't he? Of the lighthouse.
Yeah, that character, the Steve Zissou character, you want to hang out with.
Yeah, he does seem like he'd be a fun guy.
But you don't want to hang out with this character from Aquaman.
So yes, as Pete mentioned, we do get to see Kylo Ren here, and what I think is a cool reveal, where Rey is looking out the window, and then you see the smoke disappear, and then you see the smiling, scarred mug of Kylo Ren. You a fan of Adam Driver, Hal Lublin?
Yes, I am. Not only am I a fan of his performance, I'm a fan of the guy, because he is a... First of all, thank you for your service, Adam Driver.
You're welcome.
He is a veteran of the armed forces who does a lot of like drama therapy and uses theater as a way to help other veterans cope and readjust and deal with PTSD.
Yeah.
And I love Kylo Ren. I think he's like one of the highlights of these movies. Maybe my favorite new character.
Yeah, I think he was also another reason, another gripe I have about the last, the Rise of Skywalker, is I felt like I can't remember anything he did in the Rise of Skywalker. Whereas I feel like in The Force Awakens and this, like, he's so memorable in every scene that he's in but anyway, we'll get there. That's 2 years from now.
Right. We got time.
We like Kylo Ren. That's what matters.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything else that I've seen him in that's not Star Wars still. So I anticipate that first thing where I'm just like, wait a minute.
He's good in Logan Lucky, I think is the name of that movie. The one with Daniel Craig.
I haven't seen it.
I watched a bit of that that zombie movie he did with Bill Murray. I forget what, The Dead Don't Die.
Oh, the Jim Jarmusch film?
Yeah. Or him, Bill Murray, Chloe Savini are cops in a small town, and there's a zombie outbreak. They didn't care for it. Sorry, but
so you're telling me I should just stick with Star Wars?
No, I think that's you should I'm also hearing. See inside Lloyd Llewellyn. You should you should.
That's on my list. Been on my list for forever.
Oh, it's so good.
Recently,
that's a twofer. You get Poe Dameron and Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, isn't Hux in that too, or is he in the other one? He's in those other. He's in Ex Machina, which I also have to see.
Right, which also
right.
Yeah. I did just see, what was the one with Han Solo in it? The Hail Caesar.
Hail Caesar.
Right. So,
how dare you call him Han Solo? I mean, he did a good job, but.
Well, that's the, you know.
I was like, is there another, do you not remember Harrison Ford? That was what went through my head, like.
Who's that guy, Han Solo?
And then it was going to be, the one with Han Solo, Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Yeah. I've never seen a Han Solo in any other movies.
Yeah. Except for Witness.
I did see the Frisco Kid.
Frisco.
Do you remember that? Did anyone see that one? With
you follow
G
this
Wilder?
Two gas right here. That's a great, you know what? I'm gonna say something about the Frisco Kid.
Yes.
I was going to a con where I was going to be on a panel where we talked about underappreciated movies, and I picked that one. Thinking only about Gene Wilder. Harrison Ford is good in it, but Gene Wilder is fantastic in it. But the movie is, it's not a great movie, but his performance in it is amazing.
That's Gene Wilder for you.
It is his second best performance next to Willy Wonka, I think.
Wow, better than Young Frankenstein or...
Barely.
Or The Lady in Red?
Well, I mean, that's just crazy, another, or... that's another level. Stir crazy. Yeah. See no evil, hear no evil. Look, I love Joan Severance. You put Joan Severance in a movie, I'm going to show up and watch it.
I haven't seen Frisco Kid. It was on cable all the time when I was a kid, and I do remember watching it not infrequently.
I feel like it was on broadcast too. It was like the Saturday afternoon movie on, you know, like WPIX or something for a couple of times that I'd be like, what is this weird movie with Han Solo in it? It's got Han Solo and Willy Wonka. What's going on? Why are they cowboys?
I guess any chance of them doing a Harrison Ford's been revisiting all his classic characters. I guess now that we lost Gene Wilder, I guess.
Well, I don't know. You could that do
happen. A CGI Gene Wilder? CGI.
Or Timothy Chalamet as his son.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They just said they're doing a Willy Wonka prequel of Timothy Chalamet. Oh. So they could do that and bring it. They should have Timothy Chalamet and Alden Ehrenreich.
And Alden Ehrenreich. There you go.
Doing the Frisco Kid the early years.
The Frisco Baby, they would call him.
Frisco Babies.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yes, Face Out of Smoke, I do like that reveal because it also is evocative of Empire Strikes Back. Not only is it good movie part, but it's... You know, it's also evocative. It's the movie that this movie, you know, is the this is the Empire Strikes Back of this trilogy in more ways than two. So
yeah, in a weird way, it's a weird parallel because you have Rey laying on her back, looking up, and just like Han Solo was laying on his back when he was in Carbonite. So one of the troopers should have been like, "She's alive and in perfect hibernation."
Right. Yeah.
She's awake.
And you know, Kylo Ren really wants to be Darth Vader, so he's like, "Wait, blow the smoke over here, so I'll like come out of it the way that Darth Vader came out of it." You guys remember when Darth Vader came out of the smoke and that thing? No. Come on, you guys. Like he's like a Darth Vader fanboy. It's just, you guys don't know that? Yeah. I'll send you a tape. I'll send you a mixtape.
A mixtape. I made a Darth Vader mixtape.
Yeah.
So maybe this addresses what you were complaining about yesterday, Pete, but in this we learn that we see that DJ talks about activating a cloaking device on the ship.
Mm.
Which is, speaking of Star Trek, a technology we don't see very often. We hear it referenced in Empire, but I don't remember, do we ever see a cloaked ship in, or whatever? Is that ever brought up in other times?
Well, he says he's cloaking their approach. He doesn't really say there's a cloaking device. He says they're cloaking their approach. But no, it does seem, it is the first, I believe, the first that we hear of something like, no ship that small is a cloaking device.
Right, yeah, in Empire it is mentioned. So it does. You can't blame this movie for introducing cloaking. Yeah.
But
as
this
a
ship
concept.
Is smaller than the Millennium Falcon, and yet it has a cloaking device. Although it was 30 plus years later.
It's been a long time,
Right.
Yeah, I think the closest we get to cloaking is the garbage maneuver from Empire.
Mm.
And that's really just like putting Groucho glasses on your ship.
Right. That's old school manual cloaking.
Yeah. In our day, we had ships pretend to be trash, I tell you, trash.
Yeah, I guess to me the problem with introducing cloaking is it just opens up a can of worms. Like, why doesn't everyone have cloaking devices? And it's like if they introduced transporters into Star Wars. Like, well, how come we haven't seen everyone using transporters until now?
Right.
That's when you have Christopher Lloyd show up in his Bird of Prey.
Right, yeah.
From Star Trek 3. Moltz! Cho-y-choo! And then they attack everybody. The Klingons were the real heroes after all.
See, that somebody brought that up, not to get too far out of the minute, but somebody did. What do you think of that idea that somebody brought up that this kind of
needs
the way
more
that
Christopher
this,
Lloyd?
Well, yeah, everything needs more Christopher Lloyd, I think.
True.
But the way that this kind of this whole saga resolves would have been interesting to introduce. Who was it that suggested that if you add in an external threat, that, you know, the First Order and the Resistance end up essentially united against a common foe,
uneasy allies,
right? So you get these, you know, these characters for, like you said, Kylo Ren, great character, and you can have him be, you know, the way that he ends up. I mean, in a sense, you do have that. You get, like, instead of being an alien from a different galaxy, it's an alien from a different movie. Mm-hmm. When you get, you know, Palpatine comes back and everybody unites against him in the end. But I don't know.
That feels like less, because he sort of switches teams as opposed to like an uneasy, like, I'll tell you what I'd love to see, a story. I don't know if either of you have seen the movie Enemy Mine.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But that feels like it's ripe for a telling in Star Wars. For those of you who are watching / listening that don't know, Enemy Mine is a movie with Lou Gossett Jr. and Dennis Quaid from like 1984, where Lou Gossett Jr. is part of an alien race that is warring with the humans, of which Dennis Quaid is one. During a fight, they both get stranded on the same planet and have to band together to survive. So they learn between the two of them that they have more in common than they do keeping them apart and keeping them fighting one another. And I think that's an interesting story to tell in Star Wars. And it feels like a natural kind of war story. Like, that's a war story trope we haven't gotten yet from the Star Wars universe.
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw something like that in like The Mandalorian or one of the TV shows. Like, it seems a little bit small and focused for a Star Wars movie, which tend to be more, you know, they go to a lot of different places or whatever. But yeah, I could totally see them. The Star Trek episode Darmok, also a similar type of thing, where, but in that case, the alien is purposely stranding them there so that they will learn a lesson in you know, brotherhood. But yeah, I could totally see that working in a Star Wars thing. Who would be the bad guy? Who would be Lou Gossett? Would he be a native Tatooiner? Would he be a stormtrooper? What kind of bad guy would he be?
I mean, you want there to be like a language barrier, right? So they have to overcome that. In addition, that's part of how they learn.
Yeah,
but a Greedo necessarily have to be
a Rodian.
Yeah, Rodian.
A Rodian imperial officer. Like, I want an imperial officer. They don't seem to promote many people who aren't humanoid.
No. Yeah, that's the whole thing.
That's a real problem. I mean, it makes sense if they're essentially
right. I mean, they're
Aryans,
space Nazis. Yeah,
yeah,
the
space,
I mean, they
Nazis
only just started letting the women and people of color in. So, Lenny Alien seems like that's like the next.
You're a hammerhead. We can't allow you.
Well, I feel like their whole thing is uniforms, and I feel like having all these different aliens would make it very, the tailors droids would go crazy, because now you have to have like a Rathgar uniform, and you have to have a Borgullet uniform, and it just wouldn't work.
If you fit the suit, you can join.
Yeah.
What? Oh, wait. How about this? What if it's a Tusken Raider having to raise a human child? So it's like a reverse. It's not quite. I mean, it's sort of Mandalorian, Lone Wolf and Cub again, but I feel like it would feel fresh.
We just read a story in the Empire Strikes Back anthology in which a Bosk is raised by Wookiees and becomes those notoriously and opposing races. Yeah, that they, it's, well, not just a Bosk, it's Bosk's sister.
Sister.
Aww.
Spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't read Empire Strikes Back from a certain point of view.
Yes, but there you go. So available maybe that now. Could be it.
Who wrote that one?
That particular story?
Yeah. Also, I love that you're wearing an earpiece like you're a news anchor. Yeah. I notice it every once in a while you turn and I see the...
Well, it gets periodic updates. It's so updates
good. Right. I've just been handed an update that the Bosk story was written by, what was it called? Tooth and Claw. Michael Kogge? K-O-G-G-E?
Good job, Michael.
Hmm? It was a story from Bosk's point of view, and he tracks down some notorious Wookiees that he's looking for, and lo and behold, they're in cahoots. With his long lost sister.
Cahoots with Kazooks.
Right. That was the original name of the story.
Yeah.
Sure.
So the back on the ship, DJ is flying them with his, he has the ship cloaked, and he does this thing with the keyboard that cracks me up because it, I don't know if you guys have watched much Stephen Colbert, but one of his gags is whenever he has to do like a typewriter or like an adding machine or something, he just kind of like slides his hands over it in a way that is so ridiculously not really typing. And that to me seems what Benicio del Toro is here. He's just kind of like clack, 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 like just rubbing his hand on it. And it just cracks me up.
Yeah. Between that, like the keyboard, manic keyboard typing, and then the just like pulling out a random piece of metal to put in a slot to act as a thing, like that for some reason is over the top enough that I love it. You know what I mean? It's like weirdly, I don't know, like it goes far enough that I'm just like, oh, that's ridiculous, and I love it.
It's like, delightfully right. Extra.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, of course, blap, blippity, bloop.
Right.
It makes sense, though. Wouldn't there be, like, colloquial, isn't there, like, sort of vernacular like that? Wouldn't there be something like that in Star? Sure. We never got there, like, frack.
Yeah.
Battlestar Galactica, really, the original,
right.
Took us into the world of, like, microns and centons and frack.
Carb. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I wonder if, P, maybe you can look this up. You have access to the Wikipedia. Is Blip? Blappity bloop a comment? Is it like the bada bing, or is it like yada yada yada? Is it a real, do other people like
Bob's your uncle?
Yeah, is it like that, you know, like zippity doo dah? Does it have any kind of a larger scale kind of, you know, is he quoting something else?
I don't see any blip blappity bloop. Let's see.
That's the name of one of his songs.
When I type that, blip, blappity, bloop, some of the suggested things are BB-8 going downstairs. I'm a little confused as to why that.
Speaking of stairs, my favorite moment of the original film is the brief panning shot in Tatooine where you see how R2-D2 navigates stairs. I think about that a lot. I think a lot about R2-D2 sort of wobbling his way down a set of stairs.
It doesn't seem like it would really work. And I'm surprised I'm assuming that it's after that point with like, we can't show that again. Like we have to like cut around it where he's down the stairs and it's never shown how he gets down the stairs.
Of course that's how he does it. It's either that or just rolling. Those are the only two options that you have. It's like, I'm going to get you, sucker. Just slowly rolling down the stairs.
Or just like going full speed off the top step, just seeing where he lands. Just kind of like.
Well, he could just use his rockets to fly down the stairs. I don't know why he doesn't just do that.
That's my remote control R2-D2 forever has those jets on his legs. So that he can fly like the eagle that he is.
To the sea.
He lets his spirit carry him.
I found very few results for blip blappity bloop at all, never mind on Wikipedia, anything. It was just like,
nobody's talking about it.
No, so
well, there you go. There's an area that's ripe for exploration. You should totally have another character reference blip blappity bloop.
Yeah,
blip?
Blappity bloop.
It well, I'm trying to think of the slang that we did get. Was we got wizard. And we got Dank Ferrick. That's pretty much all I got, right?
I'll see you in hell.
Right. Is that, but what do you think he was quoting, like a famous that was like, I mean, you know,
clearly the concept
frankly,
of
my
hell
dear,
is
I don't give a damn or yeah. you know.
I think just the concept of a hell, like I'll see right. you in hell, go to hell.
Right.
Yeah. Blast. They do say blast.
Blast.
Oh, that's Heck. Right. The blasted.
Yeah.
Is that from, that's from the auditions, right? What's in the blasted thing that's so important?
Yeah, I would, do you think we'll ever see an in-universe entertainment? Like, will we ever see, like, Itchy and Scratchy? The way, like, Itchy and Scratchy is a show within the Simpsons universe. Mm. Will we ever see, like, what, I guess we did, we saw,
Yeah, we saw Lumpy. Sports.
We saw Lumpy watching the cartoons.
And,
so.
Oh, yeah, all kinds of things. So, Mala watching yeah. Chef Gourmand and
yeah,
Lumpy
so there,
watching.
Yeah, so we do see. So maybe like Chef Gourmand could have said blippity blappity bloop.
And they have
sounds
commercials.
Sounds like something she would say.
Oh, no. He yeah. does, the Harvey Corman, he doesn't do the commercial where he's like, it's a snap to clean. Where he says, the little old lady made it by hand. Solo.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was a one-on-one. That was
Art
that was
Carney
like a
doing,
call.
Yeah, talking
that
to
was,
yeah.
that was Art
secret
Carney.
Code. And...
that nobody could possibly... pull, but you also have they have their ballet. They have the thing that
yeah the
that
acrobats.
Palpatine takes.
Oh yeah,
to,
that too.
And
yeah.
the acrobats.
Yeah,
and yeah. you can masturbate to Diane Carroll.
We can. Thanks.
I mean, if you're Chewbacca's oh. dad, that's definitely what you're doing. You are real. You're real unhappy that your grandson has come in.
Yeah.
Grandson get like. You know what that's like? That's the Wookiee equivalent of someone's in here.
Well, when 900 years old you are, let's see where you decide to.
You'll just be doing it right in the middle of the living room, and everybody leave me alone. Come on,
this is part of our culture now.
Yeah,
it's with the life day. Life day, you're allowed to do it unlimited times on life.
It's like
day.
The purge. I do have to say that was my one of my favorite Celebration moments. The Celebration is coming up again soon. They just announced that they moved up the date. So Star Wars Celebration mm-hmm. coming up. The last one that we went to where it was like, you know, Alex and I, each of the past couple of ones we go, we play a kind of like a bingo. But like, all right, what's the cosplay that you're going to find? And like, who gets to find theirs first? And I thought I was being, you know, funny and obscure when I said like somebody from Lumpy's Circus. And not even a half hour in, ran into multiple people from Lumpy's Circus, including two different groups. One of them was a whole group of different people dressing as different members of Lumpy's Circus. And there was another Lumpy's Circus ringleader going around separately that was like, oh, man, do you know about those? He's like, yeah, I know about them. Like he was there by himself just doing the thing, thinking he had the best. And he did. He had the best costume. And then, but there was also another team that had the best costume, like, you know, group. And I was like, oh, man. So amazing. It's one of the reasons why Celebration is great.
I will never forget the first time I watched the Star Wars Holiday Special. I think I was 22 years old and seeing 22 or 23. And I was laughing the second it started. But as soon as the circus began, I was up against the wall opposite the television on the floor laughing so hard and crying from that laughter so hard that I dehydrated myself and got a headache. But I couldn't stop. Like, I couldn't catch my breath. I had a headache. I was dehydrated. And it's one of the outside of my wedding, one of the happiest days of my life.
Well, yeah. I hope you mentioned that at your wedding. Something has finally surpassed seeing. I never thought it would happen, but this is better than Lumpy Circus.
Yeah.
I just sang the song. I just went, ooh, boo, 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 boo.
That,
what's that on the...
How did we get here?
On the railing. Like, you're like, don't do it. Don't jump at the very beginning.
My last comment is that I like the look when they show the shield being lowered or deactivated. You see mm-hmm. the sort of visual representation, very, very next generation looking like visual mm-hmm. display where you see the shield kind of flicker for a second. But I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. I it's a kind of a mix of, you know, old school Star Wars displays, but with a little bit of a modern twist.
Yeah, fresh, and freshen
like
it up.
Blinking out like that. I also I wanted to go back and talk about the social aspect of I wrote that Rey's arrival, then suddenly turning into, you know, her getting kind of arrested. It's like meeting somebody in real life after hanging out once and then talking online for a while. So it's like you met somebody and you're like, oh, yeah, and you become friends online after you meet them in person. When you hung out once at like a friend's party or at something. And then you've just been talking online. And online is a different, you know, discourse thing, which is basically what these guys have been doing. And then suddenly you like, you're like, oh, yeah, we're going to hang out. And then they hang out and it's different. And then she's expecting, they're each expecting something completely different. Mm-hmm. And then they, all of a sudden, they're face to face again. And it's like a, maybe I'm reading too much into that, trying to make it too much like relating it to pandemic era existence. But it's what I thought of, that she's, you know, they only met in person, you know, last time they met in person, they were fighting to the death, essentially.
Yeah.
And then since then, they've been texting a lot. And now it's just like, oh, you want to meet up?
Yeah, he's realizing that she was using a force projection that was like 10 years ago. So she looked, you know, when she was younger and trimmer.
Yeah, he said this force projection. I don't know if you're the one on the left or the right. Why did you send me a force projection with two people that roughly matched the same description?
Where's that? Do you still have that puppy that you're holding?
Yeah. Is that your child? Or is that your niece / nephew that you're very close with? Please explain what's happening.
I was excited when they finally met, because it made me it reminded me that we're getting close to one of my favorite all time Star Wars scenes, which is the throne room throne room confrontation. Oh. So I was like, oh, well, like that to look so forward good. To. So yeah. So well, that's all I got for minute number 90.
Yeah, me too. I said the physicality of DJ's hacking. So
yes, that might be a working retail. Do it. Yeah, that number totally. Pad.
Oh man. Well, Hal, did you have any other anything you want us to look out for in the rest of the movie?
Oh my goodness. Just that throne room sequence is breathtaking. Yeah. I just love it so much. And I now watch every time I watch it, I'm excited. I get excited when I know I'm getting closer to it.
Mm. Mm. You know what I do? I just skip right to it.
You bad boy.
Well, on that note, Hal, thanks so much for being with us this week. It was a ton of fun.
It's been an absolute pleasure. It was too long. I'm glad I came back.
Well, yeah. Now between the two, we're running out of movies here. And yes. We would love to have everybody on all the time, but
yes.
If we run shy of slots, would you find yourself more likely to talk about Solo, a Star Wars story now available on Blu-ray and digital? Or Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker?
I would happily talk about either one.
Oh, look at that.
You put up the bat signal, and I will show up on your rooftop.
Hmm.
I think in honor of today, we have to give him a Wookiee moment from the Solo movie, maybe when they're springing him from jail.
Talking Wookiee.
Talking Wookiee.
Talking Wookiee with Hal Lublin.
Please. I just want to talk about his family and that holiday special. When are we covering that?
Well, we did a live show where we covered it in two parts, not minute by minute, but we might have to go back and readdress that at some point.
Yeah.
If a higher resolution version of the full thing ever gets officially released, I think we would have to celebrate that by doing a party, holiday special party.
So you're saying when George Lucas passes away.
Yeah.
Does Disney must own then the holiday special, right?
I mean, they put out the animated portion of it.
Yeah.
So one day. We'll get there.
With commentary from Bruce Valanche.
My first celebrity sighting in L.A.
Oh, wow.
Saw him in a garage.
Oh, like
your garage.
Like a mechanics? Like not like in, you just like went out to get the car and there he was like.
No, it was a parking garage.
Oh.
And he's unmistakable because he looks like a Gorgon. So like see him and you're like, oh, that's Bruce. That's Hollywood superstar writer Bruce Valanche. I was very excited. I did not go over and bother him.
Yes, it's probably for the best.
Yeah.
I let him live his life.
Well, listeners, if you want to come over and bother us over the weekend, why not go to starwarsminute.com/Patreon? We will release episodes there on Saturdays and Sundays, usually. And if you just can't get enough of us, why not check us out there? Different levels get you different things. You can even get some really fun art stuff, prints and what have you from Alex. And now that things are opening back up again, remember, there's the additional levels where we can go to a sports game. Like, Hal's into that. Maybe we'll bring Hal.
Yes. I love sports games.
See? So check out those levels, StarWarsMinute.com/Patreon, then meet us back here on Monday for a brand new episode
Star Wars Minute.